Well, good morning. Good morning. Don't y'all wish y'all had some of the energy that them kids just had running out of here? Well, it's good to be back here this morning. I'm thankful that y'all gave me the opportunity to come back. They told me y'all was crazy, but I knew when y'all invited me back, y'all was definitely crazy, so that's all right. I like crazy people. I'm a little crazy too. Well, as I said, I'm thankful for just the opportunity to be here this morning. I'm thankful I've got a lot of my family here to come that drove up from South Carolina and drove over about 30 minutes from where y'all live. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that y'all are in y'all's place this morning. Y'all sitting in the back. Y'all scared to come up here and sit in the spitting section, I guess. That's all right, too. How many is ready for the spring to come? A little cold outside, wasn't it? I'm ready for warm weather. I tell you, I appreciated the singing this morning that was done by each and every one of you. In Christ Alone is one of my favorite songs. The song says, no power in hell and no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand. No matter what you've been through this morning, no matter what you've been through this week, if you're in the hand of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that not even the devil himself can come and take you out of His hand. And I'm thankful this morning that no matter what I do, that no matter where I've been, that I'm in the hand of God. And the Bible says that no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. The Bible says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And not us, not you, not even all the demons of hell can break the seal of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful this morning that I'm safe and secure in the hand of God. And I appreciated that song this morning. When Jesus walked up Calvary's Hill, He wasn't just carrying that cross that weighed about 300 pounds, but He was carrying the weight of all my sins. A woman came to Jesus, and they began to rebuke her and say, are you letting this sinner come to you and kiss your feet? He says, yes, I am, because her sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Once we realize how many sins we've really committed, we'll start to appreciate Jesus' sacrifice a little bit more. Not any of us in here are worthy. We'll never be worthy. And you're not looking at a perfect preacher this morning. You're looking at a very imperfect preacher this morning. But I'm thankful that all my sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Because Jesus carried me all the way up that cross. We'll get to the message in a second. Everybody had a good week? My favorite day is Sunday, I can tell you that. I look forward to Sunday all week. But this week, my girlfriend, she had spring break. So I got off work a few days and we went down to the zoo in Columbia. Anybody ever been there? Columbia Zoo? I thought it was awesome. I had a great time. But I was in there, I was thinking about all the animals that we saw. I don't really know what was my favorite. I liked the elephant kind of the most. That was pretty cool. But as we walked around and looked at them, I was thinking about how many of them animals were on Noah's Ark. And about how many of those animals have been here for thousands of years and God has preserved them just for us. That we might look at them and view His glory and what He can create. And as I was thinking about Noah's Ark, and it was raining last night, so it kind of made me think about it a little bit more. Did y'all know how the Ark was illuminated? Floodlights. Y'all get that when you go home. Y'all can come back and y'all laugh a little bit more when you get home. But all right. I enjoyed that if y'all didn't. Well, that's all right. I laughed at it. All right. Well, Matthew chapter 14 is where we'll be this morning. Matthew chapter 14 is where we'll start. But before we get into there, I want to talk a little bit. Because there's a kind of a misconception going around today. And it's very easy for you and I as Christians to get sucked into it. That's going around that's saying as long as you follow Jesus with all of your heart, as long as you obey Him, everything's going to be easy. You'll always have a good job. Your money will always be coming in. You'll always have good health. You'll never get cancer. You'll never get anything as long as you obey God. And you'll just be happy all the time. You'll never have a time of sadness. And if you watch church on TV, a lot of those preachers will tell you that. that as long as you obey God, everything's just going to be easy. As long as I follow Jesus, everything's just going to make me happy all the time. But as we read the Bible, that's not the followers of Jesus Christ that we find, is it? We find, and what I believe, one of the closest followers of Jesus Christ to ever walk this earth, the Apostle Paul. We find that his life was not easy at all. We find that he had one of the hardest lives that the Bible records. And I just want to read just a few short verses, and you don't have to flip to it, of what Paul went through as one of the closest followers of Jesus Christ. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He said, 5 times the Jews beat me. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, and perils just means dangers. Perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings, in hunger, and in thirst, in fastings, in cold, and nakedness. And beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. One of the closest followers of Jesus Christ, and he went through all that. And God allowed him to go through all that. When you read, I believe it's in Acts chapter number 16, God was the one that said, I want you to go into Macedonia. And do you know what waited Paul and Silas in Macedonia? Jail time in Philippi. Why? Because that was exactly where God wanted them to be. I think about Joseph in the Old Testament, another example of what he went through. The Bible says day by day by day by day, Potiphar's wife came and just threw herself on him. And said, nobody's going to know if you lay with me, Joseph, day by day. How hard that would have been for Joseph when nobody else is around. But he said, I'm not going to sin against my God. And you know what happened? God allowed him to get thrown into prison for doing the right thing. Why? Because that's where God wanted him to be. And the hard fact of life this morning that you won't hear on TV, as a Christian, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, He's going to put you in times that you don't like. And He's going to put you in situations that make you uncomfortable. Why? Because that's exactly where He wants you to be. That's exactly where He wants you to be. Do not get sucked into the misconception this morning that because your life is messed up, God doesn't want you there. Because when your life gets all messed up and you're uncomfortable and it gets hard, so often that is exactly where God wants you to be as His follower. And as we'll read here in these verses in Matthew chapter 14, we find that these disciples have been caught in a place that makes them uncomfortable, in a place where they may not want to be. And we'll begin in verse number 22 of Matthew 14 this morning. The Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And that's where we'll stop this morning. May God add His blessing to His Word. But as you'll notice in these verses right here in verse number 22, Jesus is the one that told His disciples to get into this ship, and look what happens. As they're on this ship in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a storm pops up. An uncomfortable time pops up for the disciples. And it was exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. And what I want to preach on this morning is being in a discipleship. Being in a discipleship. Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning, Lord, I'm thankful that it's already been good to be in Your house, to hear Your songs, Lord, and to uplift Your name in song. But Father, I'm just praying this morning that God, that You would just begin to soften everyone's heart in here. That Lord, that they would receive Your Word on good ground, that it might bring forth much fruit in their lives. And God, those that are struggling, those that are hurting this morning, I pray, God, that You would just give them a special touch from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, You would just begin to move in their lives, that they might walk out in freedom, Lord, if they walked in here in bondage. I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to set them free this morning. And God, I pray that You would do what only You can do this morning. I pray that You'll remove all pride and all flesh from this message and from what we want to do this morning. And God, I just pray that You would do whatever You want to do in the hearts of each and every person. Lord, for everything that You do, we'll be sure to give You the honor and glory and praise. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. We notice in verse number 22 that Jesus is the one that told His disciples, go ahead and get in this boat and go to the other side. And as you read John's account of this story, we've seen that the disciples have already rowed about 30 furlongs, which is about 3.5 miles. And the Bible says that it was now in the middle of the night. The disciples are in a place now to where it's dark. The disciples are in a place now where they're uncomfortable. The disciples are in a storm and they don't know what to do. And what that teaches me right there is if you're going to obey God, you might as well go ahead and get your umbrella out, because it's going to start storming here pretty soon. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 2, I believe it is, brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. He said, not if times get hard. He said, when. Peter wrote in his epistle, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. He says, when a fiery trial comes to you, don't think it's strange. He said, you know what is strange? When you're not going through a hard time. Because that's a lot more different than being in a hard time. Because as a Christian, the facts are, you'll probably go through more hard times than you will easy times. Peter said, don't think it strange when a hard time comes to you. And we find that being in a discipleship this morning, number one, it takes us out of our comfort zone. It takes us out of our comfort zone. You say, how is this uncomfortable for the disciples being in the middle of this sea during a storm? Well, the last storm that popped up on the Sea of Galilee is in Matthew chapter number 8. And in verses 23 through 27, the Bible in Matthew records, on this very same Sea of Galilee, and probably in the very same boat, a storm pops up. But this time, Jesus was in the back of the boat. The storm pops up. The water begins to fill up the boat. The lightning begins to crash down. And the disciples are scared for their life. And they run to the back of the boat and they find Jesus asleep on the pillow. And they begin to wake Him up and they say, Master, don't You care that we're about to die? Don't You see this storm? And Jesus wakes up. Remember what He said? Peace, be still. The wind stopped. The sea stopped. Everything was calm. The disciples began to look around. I think they begin to scratch their head at each other and say, did y'all just see that? Jesus just said three words and the wind stopped. Jesus just said three words and the sea just calmed down completely. And the Bible says they looked at each other and they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? See, the disciples didn't quite know who He was yet. Now remember that for later. We'll go over that. Remember, they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? See, last time on the Sea of Galilee when a storm popped up, all they had to do was run to the back of the boat and Jesus calmed it. But this time we find that Jesus is nowhere to be found. Jesus is nowhere to be found. But as we're reading this story, and I learned something in English class, that when you know something that the characters don't know, that's called dramatic irony. It's about the only thing I learned in English. Dramatic irony. We see something that they don't know. Because we know exactly where Jesus is, although they don't know where He is. Look at verse number 23. The Bible says, when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. The disciples are down in the middle of this sea, in the middle of this storm, and Jesus is nowhere to be found, but we know exactly where Jesus is. As I went to Israel in November, there was a mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and I believe that that mountain was where Jesus went to pray. And as He was up there praying in the middle of the night, I believe Jesus is looking down at the Sea of Galilee, seeing that boat go across the sea in the middle of the storm, and Jesus is looking right at Him as He's praying. Even though you can't see Jesus this morning, He sees you. And He knows exactly where you're at this morning. And He knows exactly what you're going through. Think about this. If in Matthew chapter number 8, Jesus woke up and stopped the storm. If Jesus can stop a storm, don't you think He can start one too? If Jesus can stop a storm, don't you think He can send one too? And I've read this passage 1,000 times, and I believe this in all my heart. As Jesus was up on top of that mountain praying, and the disciples were in the middle of the boat, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, I believe He sent this storm. Why? Because He wanted to increase their faith in Him. See, the only way for you and I to increase our faith so often, in order for our faith level to increase, our comfort level has to decrease. As long as we're comfortable sitting on a church pew right where we're at, we'll never change. But when God begins to shake up our life a little bit, the only choice that we have is to turn to Him. The only choice that we have is to grow in our faith or just sit down and crumble. And I believe in all my heart, Jesus sent this storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in order to increase the disciples' faith. And see, we have such a distorted view of God this morning that we don't believe that God wants us going through hard times. But if you'll go back and read the book of Job, Satan was not the one that brought up Job. God was the one that looked at Satan and said, "Have you seen Job? Why don't you go mess with him a little bit? See what you think about that." Satan was not the one that said, "Let me go mess with Job, God." God was the one that looked at Satan and said, "Go mess with Job a little bit." See, God is the one that sends hard times. God is the one that allows hard times in order to increase our faith, in order for us to grow in Him. Because when you and I get weak this morning, we don't have any strength. So the only place that we have to turn to is God's strength. Paul had that thorn in his flesh, and he went to God and said, "Take this away from me 3 times. God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is perfected in weakness." See, when we're weak, we don't have any choice but to turn to God and rely on His strength. Often in the middle of our life, we look around just like these disciples did, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. In the book of Job, as he's going through some of the worst things that a man had ever been through in this entire world, the Bible says Job said, "I looked in front of me, I looked to the right of me, I looked to the left of me, I even turned around to see if I could find God, but I couldn't find Him anywhere." But at the end of that verse, he says, "But He knoweth the way that I take." See, when you can't look around and find God anywhere, you can be assured that He knows exactly where you are. And He knows the way that you take. In Mark's Gospel, this verse just cranks my truck. In Mark's Gospel, of this very same narrative, the Bible says He saw them toiling and rowing. He saw them. Jesus just wasn't up on this mountain praying, not caring about what the disciples were going through. He looked down and He saw them. And when life gets uncomfortable as a follower of Jesus Christ, it's exactly where He wants us to be. And He wants to take it out of our comfort zone that He might change us and increase in our faith. Number two, not only does being in a discipleship take us out of our comfort zone, but it takes us out of our control. Notice where they are in verse number 24. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." The Bible says that this ship was now right in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Now I want you to think about this morning. What did Peter, James, and John used to do before they followed Jesus? Fishermen. What was that again? Fishermen. There you go. Got to get you woke up. They were fishermen. And they would go out on this very same Sea of Galilee every single night with their net, and they would go and catch fish. Where do you think Peter and James and John used to be most comfortable? Out right in the middle of this Sea of Galilee catching fish. They were usually in control of everything that came to them. But this time, They're right in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and I believe they're probably using the same boat that they used to. But this time, Jesus sends them something that they can't control. Peter and James and John cannot possibly control weather. So Jesus sends them something that they can't control. And many of you have walked in here this morning, and you're in a circumstance that if you go that way, it ain't going to change. That if you go that way, it ain't going to change. And it looks like there's no hope because it's out of your control. And if God doesn't show up and change it, it ain't going to change. Some of you have a friend that's an alcoholic. You might have a brother that's an alcoholic. And no matter how many times you say you need to stop, it ain't going to change. Because if God doesn't show up and change it, it ain't going to change. And God takes us into those situations where we can't do anything about it. That it might be out of our control and in His control. And I believe that right in the midst of the sea, as the water was filling up the boat, as the wind was blowing against the boat, sending them back in the other direction, as the lightning was flashing down, the other disciples would turn to Peter, who was supposed to be the expert on these boats. Because he was out there every single night. And they said, Peter, what are we supposed to do when a storm pops up? What are we supposed to do now? And Peter says, I don't know what to do when this is out of my control this time. He says, hold on, let me go check the back of the boat. Let me see if Jesus is back here. Because last time he conned it. And he goes to the back of the boat and he looks around and he says, uh-oh. He ain't here this time. And he turns back to the other disciples. And I can just see it in his eyes. There ain't no hope. We're doomed. This ship is sinking, and we're all going to die. Some of you walked in here this morning, you're in a situation where it looks like there's absolutely no hope. It doesn't look like God sees you, it doesn't look like God cares, and it doesn't look like God's going to show up and change it. And I believe Peter runs back to the disciples, and he says, he's not here this time, guys. We're doomed. There's no hope for this situation. I don't know what to do. And just Peter just falls out and he's completely done. And he begins to fall and he says, God, I don't know what to do this time. Because I don't have anything to do. But let me tell you something. Have you ever come to the place where you've finally fallen down on your knees and you said, God, I'm done trying. I don't know what to do. You ever come to that spot? I believe the disciples were in that spot. They fell down and they said, God, I don't know what to do this time. But when you fall on your knees and you say, God, I don't know what to do, guess what? That is exactly where God wants you to be. That is exactly where God wants you to be. Because when you finally come to the place where you say, God, I don't have anything left to do, I don't know what to do, guess what your only choice is? Trust in Him. And God will bring you to the place in your life to where you say, I don't know what to do. God, I trust in You. God will do everything possible to get us in full dependence upon Him. And you know what He does? He'll crush us until we say, God, I need You. See, in the easy times of life, we think, oh, we're good. I don't really need God today. But think about when your life gets hard. Think about when God crushes you by your circumstances. What's the only thing you have to do? Trust in Him. And when you say, God, I don't know what to do, that's exactly where He wants you. That is exactly where God wants you this morning. God takes us into these times that are out of our control because we must rely upon Him. It makes us trust in Him and fall at our knees and trust in Him. And it breaks us of our own will. And it makes us trust in His will. If we've never had times that are out of our control, we wouldn't pray to God. If we were in control of our whole life, we wouldn't need God. So God takes us into places where we don't have any control over it. Say, God, I need You. If you go back and read 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, God took the kings of Judah into battles that they couldn't possibly win by themselves. King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 is one of my favorite narratives to read in the Bible. Three different armies came at Judah. And there were 10,000 millions more than Judah. And if they went out and fought against them, they were going to lose. So what did Jehoshaphat do? The Bible says he fell on his knees and sought the Lord. And you know what happened? Because Jehoshaphat fell on his knees and rather fought the battle on his knees in prayer, When the battle came, God turned the other armies against each other. See, when you fight every single battle on your knees in prayer and you give it to God, when you get up, God will fight the battle for you. Don't try to fight the battle by yourself. Fall on your knees and fight the battle in prayer, and when you get up, God will fight it for you. And you can read every single page in that Bible, and that proves true every single time. God will fight it for you if you give Him the battle. You say, hold on. When I follow Jesus, He's going to take me out of my comfort zone. The answer is yes. When I follow Jesus, He's going to take me into a place where I don't have any control over it. The answer is yes. And some of y'all are looking at me like, well, why in the world would I want to follow Jesus? When I don't follow Jesus, I can be comfortable. When I don't follow Jesus, I can kind of be in control of what goes on. Yeah, but number three, and my favorite one, not only will following Jesus be out of your comfort zone, not only will following Jesus be out of your control, but following Jesus will be out of this world. Look at verse number 25. We skip by this a lot because we've read it 1,000 times. And in the fourth watch of the night, by the way, that's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., one of the darkest hours of the night. And if you'll go back and look at some of the darkest times in your life, that's when Jesus shows up the most. God does His best work in the dark. And in one of the darkest hour of the night, look who just seems to come walking out. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they did exactly what I would do. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They thought it was a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." In one of the darkest hours of the night, Jesus comes walking out. And He comes walking out on the midst of the Sea of Galilee, just like He's walking on top of concrete. And as we took a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee this past November, you couldn't help but look out on the Sea of Galilee and imagine this man named Jesus beginning to walk right on top of the sea just like it was nothing. Just like I'm walking across this little thing right here. And if you'll go home and imagine that in your mind, it's something awesome. And what Jesus was trying to show them, the book of Job says, only God can tread on the top of the water. Jesus was showing them exactly who He was. That He wasn't just an ordinary man come to save them from their bondage in Rome, but He was God come to save them from their sins. He was God come to save them from their sins. You say, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is out of this world. How? If you miss this, you'll miss the whole point of it, I believe. Look at verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship while He sent the multitude away. Did you get that? He told His closest followers to get into a ship, and He told this multitude to go home and get some rest and sleep comfortable in your bed. He told the multitude to go home because they were not totally surrendered to being His disciples. Because in John chapter 6, the Bible says that Jesus told this multitude that came back this next day, said, the only reason you're following Me is because you want more bread. You only follow Me when you want to follow Me. So Jesus sent the multitude back home to go and sleep. Yet Jesus took His closest followers and said, get in this boat right here and go to the other side. While the multitude was sleeping so comfortably in their bed that night, and they woke up just so fresh. The disciples were in the middle of a time that was so uncomfortable. In the middle of a time that they couldn't control. But if you got to heaven today, and you saw Matthew, James, John, and Peter, and you asked them, you said, where would you have rather been that night? Would you have rather been in your bed sleeping so good? Or would have you rather been on the middle of that sea? Although it got hard, although it was scary, You got to see some stuff that nobody else got to see. And in the generation growing up to where everybody gets a trophy, nobody likes to hear this. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you'll get to see of Him. See, Peter, James, and John were the three closest followers of Jesus Christ. And guess what? They got to see more than the other disciples got to see. Only Peter, James, and John got to go up to the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before them, and they got to see Moses and Elijah come down in all their glory. Only them three got to see it. When Jesus went in to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, guess who were the only three that got to go in the house and see it? Peter, James, and John. When Jesus went to Gethsemane, guess who were the only three that got to go in with Him? Although they were sleeping, they were the only three that got to go in. And the fact is, the closer you are to Jesus, the more you'll get to see of Him. The disciples were surrendered to the cause of Christ, and Jesus sent them into a place that was out of their comfort zone. This multitude was not surrendered, and He sent them back home to be comfortable. Where do you want Jesus to send you today? Back home? To just be comfortable the same way that you have been? Or do you want to say, Jesus, I want to follow You with all my heart. And He'll send you into a place that ain't that comfortable. He'll send you into a place that's going to be out of your control. But you'll get to see some stuff that other people won't ever get to see. Would you have rather been on that boat that night? Or would you have rather been in your bed sleeping? The disciples got to see Jesus walking on top of the water. Even though being a disciple of Jesus Christ is hard, you'll get to see things that others won't. Now remember in chapter 8, remember what they said? What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? We'll skip through Peter's part. That's a different sermon for another day. But look at the verse number 32. Look what they say now. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Only three people in Matthew's Gospel knew who Christ was up to this point. In chapter number 3, after Jesus' baptism, He comes up and God says in a loud voice, Behold My Son in whom I am well pleased. In chapter number 4, as Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, Satan knows exactly who He is, and he says, If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Satan knew He was the Son of God. And in chapter number 8, after they got off the boat, they went into a town called Gadara. And a man that was filled with a legion of demons came up to Jesus and said, What have we to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God? See, only God, Satan, and all the demons of hell in Matthew's Gospel knew who Jesus was up to this point. In chapter number 8, the disciples just believed that He was a man come as their Messiah. But now, they see who He truly is as the Son of God who has come to save them from their sins. For the first time, the disciples see exactly who He is. That shows me in order for us to see who Jesus is truly, He's going to put us in times that aren't that comfortable. He's going to put us in times that we don't like. In order for you to see Jesus as your encouragement, you're going to have to be discouraged. In order for Jesus to For you to see Jesus as your rock, you're going to have to hit rock bottom. In order for Daniel to know that God shut the mouths of lions, he would have had to be thrown in the lion's den. In order for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to know that Jesus gets in the flames with you, they'd have had to have been thrown in them. And in order for Paul and Silas to know that God just shakes the prison bars, they'd have had to get thrown in prison. God's going to take us into places that are uncomfortable. But that's in order that He might show us who He is. When you're in places that you don't like, that's just an opportunity for God to show up and show out. When Jesus is getting ready to do His best work like He did on the Sea of Galilee this night, where is He going to send you? Back home because you want to be comfortable? Or will he say, get in the ship. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your control. And I'll show you something that you ain't never seen before. This is a hard prayer this morning. But I pray God to never let me miss out on His plans for my life because I'd rather be comfortable. Because most of the time we're comfortable right where we are. And we'll miss what God has for us if we'd rather be comfortable. So I pray this morning that God would shake up our comfort level, that we might grow in our faith, and we might walk closer to Him, that we might see more of Him than we've ever seen Him before. God wants to do a great work in the lives of each and every person in here. But in order for Him to change you, He's going to have to get you out of your comfort level. He's going to put you in a boat where you don't want to be. But it's going to be out of this world. And it's going to be worth it when the day comes. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning, we want to thank You, Lord, for the ability to just to come into Your house and worship You in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray that, Lord, You just use this attempt to preach Your Word, Lord, to speak to the hearts of each and every person in here. And God, I pray that You would just do whatever You wanted to do in the hearts of those who needed to hear it this morning. And Lord, I do pray this morning that You would just shake up our lives, shake up our comfort level, Lord, that we might grow closer to You and walk closer to You, Lord. And I just thank You this morning. And I praise You most of all that You would send Your Son to die for us, that we might have eternal life, so unworthy as we are, that You would give us grace that abounds much more than our sin. And Father, I pray for those that have never accepted Christ into their heart as their personal Savior. I pray that today would be the day where they do it. And Lord, we'll give You the glory for everything You continue to do in our lives. And we just pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you.